stand in body or in spirit. From Psalm 36. O Lord, your steadfast love extends to the heavens.
Your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains.
Your judgments are like the great deep.
How precious is your steadfast love, O God.
We take refuge in the shadow of your wings.
We feast on the abundance of your house.
You give us strength from the river of your lights.
For with you is the fountain of life.
In your light we see light.
Keep us forever in your steadfast love, O God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Renew us and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of God, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, source of every blessing, you showed forth your glory and led many to faith by the works of your Son, who brought gladness and salvation to his people. Transform us by the Spirit of his love, that we may find our life together in him, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated for the readings.
Good morning. The first reading is from Isaiah, the 62nd chapter. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her vindication shines out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your builder marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. The word of the Lord. The second reading is from Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
St. John, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine, did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Important day, huh? And you're like, wait, is he talking about the inauguration or the Buckeye-Notre Dame title game? And then some of you say yes, and then there's another that says you're right, Martin Luther King Jr. And today's actually a really big day itself. One, TikTok is gone, yay! Oh, Liz, I'm so sorry. Also, in a very serious note, there is the beginning of a ceasefire in Gaza, and some hostages are set to be released, so also a big day there. So, tomorrow, though, it's a big day. We get a new president, or is tomorrow the day we get a former president? Either way, it's definitely going to be an old president, though not quite as old as the outgoing president. And for some, this is a momentous day. This is a day that they've been looking forward to since the soon-to-be former president took office 4 years ago. For some, this is a God-ordained event, even. There are those who hoped, however, that this day would never come. There are those who are nervous, afraid, even, about this inauguration. To them, God would never ordain this, so who's right? And today, I'm absolutely not going to give an answer. Well, kind of, I'm going to give an answer. It's all about perspective, I suppose. On God's things that I care about list, the day that a new president is inaugurated into what is thought by most to be the most powerful nation in the world, it's probably considered of higher importance to God than who wins the Ohio State-Notre Dame game. But we also must remember that this God is a God who only gave kings to Israel with much reluctance, after they whined a whole bunch. And even then, when God did give them kings, God issued a warning about how horrible these kings would come to be, which, by the way, they did become horrible kings. On the other hand, God did change everything we know about this world and how we live through a king. God inaugurated a new age, the age that we currently live in the here and now, through a king. But this king was never really, I guess, in his own age, recognized or honored as a king, save on the road to Jerusalem that one time, you know, when they threw some cloaks on the road and waved some palm branches. This king was most notably only mocked as a king. Few actually believed it. On his throne, though, they did put this inscription, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. But we must remember what this throne looked like. And if you can't see me right now, and I just pointed to a cross, that was our king's throne, right? Our king, you see, was no ordinary king, is no ordinary king. It's a king who wields power and armies to bring about a new world. That's how normal kings do it. That's not what our king did. Our king did win victory, but not over the ruling empire of his age. No, they defeated him by all intents and purposes. They killed him. But he did win victory over sin, death, and the devil. And in doing so, he did usher in this new and present age. An inaugurated kingdom is what we call it. Jesus won victory by giving himself over to those who wielded that earthly power of a kingdom. So with this perspective framing tomorrow's big day, God's response to American presidential inaugurations, like that of college football championship games, is likely a resounding meh. I mean, I get it. We like to envisage a God who is all powerful and mighty and, of course, is on our side. I mean, God would have voted for our candidate, most likely. A God who works on a grand scale. A God who is of the nations. And that's true. This is our God. A God of continents and oceans. A God of this world. A God of a seemingly endless universe in which we are just itty, itty, bitty little specks of dust. And while ours is an enormous, unfathomably immense God who cares for the entirety of all creation, ours is also an incredibly personal, up in our business kind of God. And I think if we're fair, Mary, otherwise known in John's gospel as the mother of Jesus, is to blame for this. It's Mary's fault. Let's blame it on Mary. So, follow me for a second. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, of what concern is that to you and me? My hour has not yet come." First of all, not all that respectful, I don't think. But anyway, I don't think I would ever get away saying to my mom, "Woman." And Jesus' mom, this is something my mom would do, just ignores him as only a mother could, as only the mother of God could, and says to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." She just ignored him completely. And if you're there and you see this happen, the idea of Mary asserting her motherly authority over the literal Son of God without even flinching, without even caring what he said, that is hilarious. This is how we know the Bible is supposed to be funny sometimes, okay? But why, we have to ask ourselves, does Mary care so much about a wedding running out of alcohol? Was it that boring? Was it that boring of a wedding? Did she not like the people who were there? I don't know. I don't think it's those things. It was shame. It was all about shame. At root of it, this is what Mary wants her son to prevent for this family. So this is a culture that they lived in, that worked on a system of honor and shame. So if you invite guests to a wedding, and the food runs out, and the drink runs out, you will be the laughingstock of that community. Not just for the rest of the wedding, not just for the next day or the week or month, but forever in this culture. Because this was also a culture of hospitality. And to not show hospitality was shameful. And not only would this be bad for this family, this would be bad for this steward as well. The one who is responsible for stewarding this food and drink, his job was to make sure there were adequate provisions for the entirety of this wedding. And I guess for this steward, no more stewarding business after this running out of wine debacle, right? And what about this newly married couple? What a horrible way to start your life together. From the joy-filled Mr. and Mrs. to Mr. and Mrs. Killjoy when the wedding goes dry? Horrible. It's a moniker that would follow them and probably their children. I mean, really, this is how this culture worked. This is a mark of shame, deep shame in an honor-shame culture. Not providing for your guests is shameful. And this follows you everywhere. But as far as signs go, why do we even care? Why do we even read about it? Why is it even here? I mean, as far as signs go, that's what we call Jesus' miracles in John's gospel, signs. Of what importance is this really in the grand scheme of Jesus' ministry, in the grand scheme of this world? Water into wine. I mean, it's a cool party trick. It's a cool wedding trick. Right? I mean, if I could do it, I'd be like, "Hey, check out what I can do." But this is Jesus. He can raise people from the dead. People can touch his cloak and they are healed. Who cares about water into wine? And why even do it? To what? To prevent the shame of a nameless steward, a nameless family? Whose wine gave out at a wedding? Even Jesus questions why this is important. Woman, of what importance, of what concern is this to you and to me? But here's the thing about moms. Even the mother of God sometimes knows more than her son. Mary is, dare I say, a bit wiser than Jesus in this moment. She knows something that he doesn't. Maybe she's experienced something that he hasn't. She certainly had experienced shame, hadn't she? She had seen, she had heard, she had known the whispers. You know, the kind of whispers that just follow you when you have a child, when you're not married in a culture like that. She couldn't bear to see the weight of this shame-wielding culture coming down on yet another family, especially when she knew that Jesus, her son, had the power to save them. When she knew that Jesus could set things right. And she said to him, "No, Jesus, now is the time. This is of your concern. This is of all of our concerns. This world has waited long enough, and this world needs you now." Jesus' time had come. Mary knew it. She felt it, as perhaps only she, the mother of a God who herself had known shame, could know. And we know the rest of the story. Jesus gives his instructions. The water turns into abundance of wine. And not just a little wine, like 1,000 bottles of wine when you figure out the math. 1,000 bottles of wine. That's enough to keep this wedding going for, well, I guess it depends whose wedding, but maybe for like another week. And it is not just any wine. This is not just, you know, that $5.99 gallon of wine that you buy. Oh, what? Oh, yes, I know it's good wine. It's not just a box of wine with, you know, the ones that put the little taps on it now. Yeah. This is the best wine that anyone has ever tasted. This steward, you were supposed to serve this first, not last. They're all drunk now. They're not going to appreciate it. And Jesus, if he is willing to work wonders to save an unnamed steward, an unnamed couple, an unnamed family from shame, then imagine what this personal, in our business God has done and will do and will continue to do for you and for me now that his time has come in this world here and now today. So yes, tomorrow is a very big day for many people for many reasons. But for some, it's not because of an inauguration or because of a football game. For some, tomorrow they will have a surgery that's been scheduled for 4 months, 6 months, hopefully to get rid of that knee pain that's been bothering them, and maybe they can get on with their life living. For others, maybe it's a day that they have that surgery to hopefully fix their heart or not. Maybe tomorrow's that final chemo treatment. Maybe it's remission day. Maybe tomorrow's the day that someone finally succumbs to that cancer. Tomorrow will be a day of births, new life. It will be a day of funerals, the end of life. It will be a day of hellos. It will be a day of goodbyes. It will be a day of firsts, and it will be a day of lasts. It will be a big day. There is no doubt about it. Yes, yes, for certain in Washington, D.C., but not just there. Yes, on a football field somewhere, but not just there. It's going to be a big day in a lot of places for a lot of people for all kinds of reasons. Reasons that may seem insignificant to us. I don't care if your wedding runs out of wine. But apparently God does. But not the God who shows up even to save that wedding. It's all important to that God. A God who shows up in the big and the small and the everywhere in between and in the really weird ways, like turning water into wine. If the good news of Christmas is Emmanuel, God with us, then the good news of Epiphany, this current season, is the revelation of who this with us God is. Because, I mean, if this God isn't worth anything, then what does it matter that God's with us, right? But we are shown that this God is a God whose abundant love and mercy overflows. It's not just a little bit of love. It's not just a little bit of mercy. This is 1,000 miraculous bottles worth of love and mercy. The finest love and mercy we will never, ever know. Ever, ever know. This is not boxed love and mercy. It's not that kind. Sure, I want to know that God shows up at inaugurations. I want to know that God seeks to guide the hands and feet of those in government to love mercy and to seek justice for all people. I want a God who does that. And our God does do that, I think. And God can and does show up there. God will be there on the inauguration stage tomorrow. God does show up and work on a grand worldly scale. But God doesn't show up there how we might expect. Remember, the cross certainly is not how anyone expected God to be revealed as king. I also don't want or need a God that roots for my football team. Although as a Browns fan, might be nice. Amen, yes. But yes, even on the football field tomorrow, even though God, I don't think, has a rooting interest, the Catholics might argue with us on that one, given that one of the teams is Notre Dame. Even though God has no rooting interest, God will be there. This is a God who is revealed to us at the wedding at Cana. A God who shows up with abundant mercy and love in our sorrow and our shame, in our fear and our foreboding, in our joy and our delight, in our pain and our suffering, in the big and in the small and in the everywhere in between. A God who is with us in and through it all. A God who himself has been through it all. All of it. From mourning cries to wedding, from clean bills of health to, I'm sorry, there's just nothing else we can do. Our God is there and here this very moment with overflowing and abundant love and mercy, saying to each and every one of us, this is of my concern. You are of my concern. This world has waited long enough for its Savior. And I am here today and always for you. And for that I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day,
before we pray, are there any additional prayers that we would like to add to our intercessions?
Patty Robinette.
Patty Robinette.
Debbie and Peggy.
Debbie and Peggy.
Kim.
Kim.
John.
And I ask that you pray for Connie, my mom, who had heart surgery this past week.
Pastor, could we also pray for the people of St. Paul, Sulphur Springs? They're calling you pastor today.
So their vote is today?
So
St. Paul and Sulphur Springs is voting to call a new pastor today. So let's keep them in our prayers. Sorry.
Sherry and Robert.
And yes, Carl, we will continue to pray for Beth. And an additional one that is already on here. The family and friends of Dorothy Jewell, who is a member. She passed away. She had been a while since she'd been here because she had moved to her with her son up in Lodi, but she passed away this past week. Let us prepare to pray. With the Spirit of Christ shining upon us, let us boldly pray for the church, the world, and for all of creation.
Giver of gifts, through your Spirit, you equip each member of the church to serve. Inspire us to boldly use our individual and corporate gifts at First Lutheran Church to serve one another in the community of Galion, whether that be in the area of welcome or healing, service or teaching, leading or preaching. Use us and our gifts for the sake of your work in the world. God of grace.
Hear our prayer. Voice of peace, we call on you to heal strife and division. On the eve of this nation's inauguration, we pray that the transition of power may continue in peace and that you hold in safety those elected to public office, the electorate, and all who call this nation home. We pray for the people of Gaza and those in Israel who continue in conflict and that are currently in a ceasefire. We pray that this ceasefire may hold, that hostages may be released, that civilians may begin to rebuild their lives in safety. God of grace.
Hear our prayer.
Refuge of creatures, you place all the living under the shadow of your wings. Blanket Los Angeles and all its people in your protection. Give perseverance and strength to all. Those leading the fight to end the fire and its spread, those who work to protect the lives of those in the path of this disaster, those who have lost loved ones, those who have lost homes, businesses, and livelihoods, and those who seek to comfort and provide aid, especially Lutheran disaster response. God of grace,
hear our prayer. God of steadfast love, as Jesus celebrated at Cana, nurture marriages and relationships in mutual care. In times of separation or divorce, hold tenderly broken hearts or broken lives. Be present to all who are sick, grieving, or in any need, especially the family and friends of Dorothy, Riley, Nancy, Krista, Diana, Dave, AJ, Kenny, Fred, Caden and his family, Linda, Joe, Haley, Paige, Sandy, Scott, Jean, Tina, Barb, Dwayne, Ken, Robert, Ed, Bobby, Nancy, Jim, for Patty, for Debbie and Peggy, for Kim, for John, for Connie, for Beth, for Sherry and Robert, and for those we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. God of grace,
Spirit of unity, we pray for neighboring congregations and ministry sites, especially St. Paul Lutheran in North Robinson and Trinity Lutheran in Galleon. Nurture our shared commitment to embody Jesus' love, justice, and healing. God of grace,
hear our prayer. We especially lift to you today our neighboring congregation, St. Paul Sulphur Springs, as they continue in their path to call a new pastor. May you open hearts and minds as they enter this vote today. And may your will be done in that place. God of grace, we entrust our prayers to you, O God, in the sure and certain hope that your promise is revealed among your people. Amen. Oh yeah, it's my words next. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of God's peace. And our offerings.
God of grace, your love reaches to the heavens, and your abundance to the depths of the sea. Bless what we offer to your service, our gifts, our abilities, and our hearts. Let us overflow with gratitude and generosity, now and always. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed our right, our duty, and our joy that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. By the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son. And in the miracle of water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God's love for us overflows and is without end. Come, eat the bread and drink the wine of this meal, and receive Jesus Christ in his abundance.
Yeah.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. Nourishing God, at this table you have refreshed us with the holy gifts of food and drink. Strengthen us for service and send us out to embody your good news of liberation and healing for the sake of the world. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Some announcements. Let's see here. There have been some requests to see if through the church you could donate to Lutheran Disaster Response for wildfire relief. So on your offering envelopes, if you write LDR next to that other category and then just write how much you would like to give to that, you can donate in that way. Ask that you prayerfully consider that ministry. As a reminder, anything that is designated like that through Lutheran Disaster Response, 100% of the donated amount does go to that designation. I will be at Trinity Lutheran Seminary in Columbus this Tuesday through Thursday, so I will not be in the office, but I am available for pastoral care emergencies. So please call or text with any emergencies if they come up. We have a breakfast, our second after we've restarted, a pancake breakfast this Saturday at 9 a.m. down in our, I'll call it a fellowship hall because there's another name for it and I can't remember it. So we'll go with fellowship hall, so social hall. Let's see, here next Sunday, I would love to see all of you and more, as we worship together with St. Paul, from North Robinson, not in North Robinson, that would imply we were going there. They are coming here, for our joint worship service. It will be at 10 a.m., so no change there. Some other announcements there that you can check out in your bulletin. Just of note, I guess, the Bible study that resumes at North Robinson is not this week, but it is the following week. Other announcements this morning. Seeing and hearing none, let us stand for a blessing in body or in spirit. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen. has been revealed.
And his grace, mercy, and love are overflowing.
There is more than enough, Jesus, for all. So go, share this good news with all.
We will.